Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for what you revealed to us about yourself. And we pray that you would give us grace by your spirit, that we might understand you more as you really are. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do you sit down? There's a story told about a homeless man who was sleeping rough and during a heavy rainstorm found shelter in a church building rather like this one. Now on the wall, again rather like in here, were the Ten Commandments listed. Now just here and here, if you haven't noticed them before. And on this occasion, this guy went into the church building and waited for the rain to stop. Had nothing to do, so he thought, well, I'll have a look around. And he studied the Ten Commandments for what was really the first time in his life. Well, soon after the rain had stopped, someone met him coming out of the church building. The homeless man was shaking his head and muttering to himself, well, anyway, I've never made a graven image. It seemed that the man was prepared to admit to failing to keep some of the Ten Commandments, like stealing, not stealing, telling lies, not respecting your parents. But he thought that he was innocent of the second commandment, not to make a false image of God. Now, I expect that most of us feel pretty much like that homeless man. We know that we fail to keep many of the other commandments, especially when we think of our attitudes as well as our actions. But it's unlikely that many of us have made some sort of statue or image of God out of wood or stone and worshipped it or prayed to it. But if we think more carefully, we realise that it is extremely easy to have a wrong mental image of God, to misunderstand what God is really like. Well, let's think for a few moments about some of the false ways of viewing God that it's easy to hold to. First, there's what you might call the spaceman image of God. This is the idea that God set the whole universe going ages ago, but now stands back and lets it run itself. This image of God has God as distant and remote, just a spectator, out of touch and uninterested in us human beings. Another false image of God is what you might call the sportsman image. Now, people who think of God like this see God as far too nice to criticize us when we're wrong. This idea of God just wants people to enjoy themselves, never mind about being good. This God turns a blind eye to failures and sins. Or then there's the policeman image. Now, this image of God is really the opposite to the sportsman image. People who see God like this think of God as always looking for faults in us. The most important thing is to keep on the right side of this God and not to make this God cross. Well, another false image of God you might describe as the fireman image. People who view God in this way feel that they can manage most of the time quite happily without God, but it's nice to think that God is there in the background when a crisis comes about or when an emergency hits. Now, the trouble with all of these images of God is that there's a grain of truth in all of them, but lots that is false. And so even to take them together is not to express what the true God is really like. What we need is not just to guess what God is like or try and work God out by our own ways of thinking, but rather to learn how he has made himself known to us. And for that, we need to turn to the Bible. Now, the people who first heard the words read for us in that Old Testament reading over 2,500 years ago, were extremely fed up. They were away from their home country, having been forced to leave by their enemies. But they weren't just feeling homesick. Being away from their homeland was much more significant to them than that. The true and living God had made a special agreement with the people to love them and to look after them. And part of that involved living in their special land. So now that they were away from home, it made them wonder if God had given up on them. They knew that they'd been taken away to a foreign country because they had let God down and turned away from him. So they were asking, is God The one who still cares for us. Does he still love us? Has his special relationship and agreement now ended? Well, God, knowing what they were thinking, raised up and sent one of his special messengers, a prophet, the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah brought God's message, his word, to the people. The reading we had is on page 725, if you want to have it open in front of you, Isaiah chapter 40. Now, God knew what they were thinking. And so he says to his people, verse 27, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God?" In other words, do you really think that I've given up on you? So in order to help them to get their thinking straight, God speaks to them and reminds them what he is really like. And the first thing we notice is that God is the powerful maker of all things. So we read Isaiah 40, 25, "To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these." See, God made the people then, and he asks us today as we read these words to think about what we see around us. Now, there's something awe-inspiring about looking up at the night sky and seeing the huge number of stars and planets. According to the website Universe Today, just with the unaided eye in dark skies, you can see a few thousand stars. But we can only see part of the sky from our position on the globe, and some of the sky is obscured by the sun. So if you had perfect vision, and you could visit the northern and southern hemispheres, then you might be able to see as many as 9,000 stars. If you had a good pair of binoculars, that might rise to about 200,000. And if you had a small telescope, you could count a few million. But that would be a tiny fraction of the stars in the universe. Now, there are reckoned to be 400 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. And of course, there are large numbers of galaxies, approximately 170 billion in the observable universe. And so if you multiply the number of stars in our galaxy by the number of galaxies in the universe, you get approximately 10 to the 24 stars. That's 1 followed by 24 zeros, a septillion stars. And most astronomers think that that is only part of what's actually out there. God says to us about himself through the prophet Isaiah, look up, lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out the host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. So you see, the true God is no spaceman God making things and then leaving. The true and living God, the holy God, is powerful and creative, able to make all things, able to hold all things together, able to sustain the whole vast universe, including a septillion stars. But God also shows us here that God is positively different from us weak human beings. See, the problem with most of the false views of God is that we imagine God to be too much like us. We think that God is limited in what he can do, in what he knows. And so, for example, we get tired, and when we're tired, often we get irritable and annoyed. And so we think, well, perhaps that's why God gets angry. It's an error, but that's sometimes what we think. Well, God reminds his depressed and despondent people and us as we read these words, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Now, you and I may live here on earth for a limited number of years, but God is eternal, existing forever throughout time. We get drained and our bodies wear out. We also show our human weakness in many ways. We fail God and other people. We make mistakes and turn away from God. We sin. God is different from us. He is the everlasting God, and he never gets tired. He is always completely true and faithful. He is, as we read here, the Holy One, completely pure and perfect in himself. So God is no policeman God, just looking for faults in us. He does not get angry because he gets irritated like we often do in our weakness. Nor is he some kind of sportsman-like God, just wanting us to have fun like we think is what life's about. Not bothered if we turn away from him. No, God is not like that. God is different from us. As the eternal, holy God, full of unsearchable understanding and truth, he has made us to enjoy life with him. And so he does get angry when we live without him. But he does not faint or grow weary, so his anger is not irritable, but completely holy and pure. And what's more, wonderfully for us, God also provides a way for himself to stay just and at the same time to rescue people from his just anger and lovingly draw us back to himself. So finally, we see here from Isaiah's words that God is involved in people's lives. See, God is not remote and distant, but connected. Verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall be fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. See, God lovingly helps and strengthens his people. Now, this was especially good news to those downhearted, exiled people all those years ago. But for those who believe in him today, who know that he is more than a fireman God just there for the emergencies, and look to him for help, who wait on the Lord, here is a great promise of support in life. And it is a promise that is rooted in a person who Isaiah talks about a few pages on in his book. God promises that he's going to send one called his servant. And this servant will be strengthened, anointed by God's Spirit. He will perfectly live for God and will make a way for God's justice and love to be satisfied, meaning that people can be made fit to relate to God because they are forgiven. Chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, the servant, the iniquity, the sin of us all. See, this servant, known to us as Jesus, the Anointed One, or the Christ, came into the world a few hundred years after God's promise through Isaiah. And he died on the cross to take our sin and God's just anger against it, and rose again so that all those who believe in him would be put right with God, as we remember, as we share bread and wine this morning. Now, Jesus came and helps us to see what God is really like. As Isaiah foretold, a little later after what we read in Isaiah 64, we hear, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father." So Jesus, the servant, tells his friends to call God our Father. Now, most fathers do their best for their children, so most of us recognize what a good father should be, even though we all make mistakes, and some of us fathers do a not very good job at all. But Jesus reveals God to us as the perfect Heavenly Father, who is powerful and caring, just and full of undeserved love, providing what his children most need. So what is God like? Well, there are so many false images, but God has shown us what he is really like in his word, the Bible. God is the powerful maker of all things. He is positively different from us weak human beings. And God is involved in people's lives as his servant Jesus reveals him as the perfect Father. Well, let's pray to him now. Lord God, we thank you that you have shown us what you are truly like, and we pray that you would clear away our false images of you. Help us to have a view of you that is shaped by what you have revealed to us. We thank you for your loving grace. We thank you that through Jesus you are shown to us as Heavenly Father. Please strengthen us in a right view of you, and we ask for your sake. Amen.